This episode is from the archives, so some of the subjects mentioned may be out of date.
Hello there, this is Peter Twist with another edition of Internet Marketing Lounge. Very welcome you are too. Kurt Christiansen will be here telling us how to buy an existing website that you've seen that perhaps you think you can do a little bit better with. Also, Martin Avis, and he'll be talking about giving up your job. Jason Potash, the creator of eZine Announcer, will be telling us a little bit more about the program. And Joel Christopher, the master list builder, is back. He'll be giving you tips on getting people to opt into your mailing list, tips for beginners, intermediates, and advanced. Well, now we join Kurt Christiansen again, and he's an expert on buying websites and also mailing lists. And he's now going to give us a few tips as to the kind of things you can look for if you've spotted a website that looks as though it could do with some improvement and you're thinking of making an offer for it.
Of course, what I'm really looking for is you're looking for, you know, the diamond in the rough, so to speak. You're looking for something that has fantastic potential. Now, the word potential is quite dangerous when you're talking about buying websites. You don't want to just buy something that has potential. You want to buy something that is already making income and has a lot of upside potential, or it could be, you know, expanded. You know, for example, right now on eBay, there's a business that sells jewelry piercing parts, as you know, like naval jewelry and stuff like that. Well, the business has done $35,000 in gross sales over the last year, which is pretty dang good. And it looks like that the business could be bought for under $5,000. So, you know, they're already making sales. I've looked at the website and it's okay. Improved dramatically. They could expand the product line. They could improve their copywriting. I'm sure that they don't have any type of continuity program or program where people get a ring of the month or something like that. You know, whatever it takes to get people on a repetitious pattern. They don't have any information product on piercing or anything like that they could offer as a side item. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what you're looking for. You're looking for something that if you just bought it as is and did nothing, it would still be a good investment.
Right.
My idea of a good investment for a website is something where the price that you pay is between 4 to 6 months, or less, of course, of net profits. Okay. So think about that, Peter. If you could buy a website for 4 months of net profit, say, you know, you pay $10,000, so it's making net profit of $2,500 a month. Yeah. That's a return on investment of 25% per month. Now, if anybody out there knows of any investment that's this safe, this guaranteed, that make more than 25% return per month, you know, let me know. But to me, that's pretty exciting for the sheer power of what you're getting to. That's assuming that you don't do anything else, that you just buy and hold it.
Just keep it running as is. So at the next conference, if we see somebody with loads of body piercing, we know that they've taken our advice from this radio show.
Exactly, that's right.
Are there any kind of external checks you can do? I mean, I know a lot of people, they load up the toolbar from Alexa.com and they can look at the traffic and links. I mean, is there any kind of intelligence that you can gather without contacting the website owners? Is there anything
similar? Sure. There's about three different things that you can do that are entirely independent of the website owner that allows you to verify that what they're telling you is, you know, at least somewhere near the truth. I mean, you know, you're not going to be able to know exactly for sure until they send you all the financial documents. But the first one is Alexa, like you talked about.
Yeah.
You just went to alexa.com, download the Alexa toolbar. Then if someone says, well, you know, we're getting 1,000 visitors a day, but their Alexa number is 3 million, you know, that doesn't quite jive with what they're telling you.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is go to betterwhois.com, betterwhois.com. And what that allows you to do is check when they registered the domain and who owns it. You know, sometimes people, when they're selling these, you know, cookie cutter or template websites on eBay, which are, you know, is not what you want to buy. You want to buy established businesses.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, this business has been running for 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, then you go look on Better Who Is, and it turns out they registered the domain last week.
Right.
And then the last one is link popularity. If you go to marketleap.com, they have a link popularity checker tool that allows you to check how many links or how many other sites on the internet are linked to the particular site you're looking at.
That's something very important. And again, I think you have a website, don't you, which is all about link popularity,
But I have a whole course that's written entirely entirely about linking strategies, how to get basically hundreds of other webmasters to link to you using mostly free software tools. It's fun.
Now, see, when you go to look at buying a website, something which you can't see on the website itself, which the owners may have, is, of course, a mailing list or an e-zine or whatever. So, again, how can you work out roughly what the value of a list of people would be?
Yeah, that's a little bit hard simply because it just depends on how good the e-zine or how good the newsletter was.
Right.
But you can, there is some rough estimates that you can use or rough guides that you can use. What I usually try to do is pay that if I run 3 to 5 just plain old offers to the list, just sales letters to the list, it should break even. So, you know, sometimes you can, before you agree to buy the business, you say, well, let's run this ad to the list. I just need to verify that the list is what you say it is, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're asking $10,000 for the list and you run an ad to the list and it makes about $2,000 in sales, well, that's pretty good. That means that if you do that 4 more times, it should break even.
You mentioned to me also about whether you're buying a website or a mailing list. It's a good idea, if possible, to try and keep the owner on board for a couple of months, if you can, just to make sure that everything is okay.
Sure, and you can keep them on board in a couple different ways. The main way to keep them on board is financially. Not that they're running the business, but they have a financial incentive to make sure that you are making money with the site. And usually that's simply asking them to take a note back on the business. That's simply just saying, it's like an IOU.
Yeah.
Say, look, I'm willing to pay, you're asking $10,000, I'm willing to pay that, but why don't I give you $3,000 now and, you know, $1,000 a month for the next 7 months.
Right, yeah.
So then if anybody's trying to pull anything fishy on you or anything that's not legit, well, they won't agree to that because they know that you're going to find out that you know, pretty soon, within the first month, that what they were telling you isn't true.
They want to be off to Mexico or Brazil or whatever, so.
Sure.
Yeah. You want to keep them around.
But, you know, if it's a legitimate business, you know, they have, and a lot of times the way to work that is, you know, say that if they're asking $10,000 for the website, you go, well, how about you share something with me?
Yeah.
You told me that all these things are true and I verified some of them, but, you know, how about I give you $5,000 now and $1,000 a month for the next 5 months, plus I'll give you an extra $2,000 at the end of 5 months. Yeah. So you're essentially offering to pay them more than they're asking, but spread out.
Yeah, and also that's good for your cash flow, because if you're generating some money from the website, that can be used to pay them, I suppose, as well, can't it?
Of course.
Yeah.
That's one of the real secrets that people don't understand when they're talking about buying a website or buying a business in general, is that the real price that you're paying for the business is only the down payment. Everything else should come out of the business itself. Mm-hmm. So is that your money? No. So I don't even count that as a cost.
Yeah.
You're basically getting the business for free. Yes, you do need to run it, and it takes some time and things like that. But, you know, for example, I bought a business just a few months ago that was netting about $1,500 a month selling a digitally delivered product through ClickBank.
Yeah.
Well, I bought the business for $2,000. That's what I paid down. And then I ended up paying another $2,000 in 60 days. But that $2,000 I paid in 60 days, it didn't come out of my pocket.
Yeah.
It came out of sales of the product.
That's Kurt Christensen. Well, Martin Avis joins us again this week, and we're just talking a little bit about what it felt like to give up your job and whether it's suitable for everybody. We had David Ledoux the other week talking about giving up your 9-to-5 job and the joys of it, but let's see what Martin thinks about that.
And it's a big step. I mean, to go from a regular income to when you start an income, and then you've got to build it up, and it's very irregular, and some months you make a lot of money and some months you make nothing. That takes a big mindset, and I know a lot of people who just haven't been able to do it. They've gone out, they've become self-employed, and they just haven't been able to cope with the irregularity of it.
Mm.
I found it suited me very well, and I haven't looked back, and hopefully won't have to. Well, I've been involved with the internet for quite some time. I mean, really through the .com/.bomb era in my professional career as advertiser. I was working with the internet, working with lots of internet companies at that time. So I really cut my teeth on that mad heyday, really, of the internet, when there was so much money to spend. But really looked at it and thought this is crazy at the time when we were trying to find ways of advertising some of these funny little kids that none of us believed ever had a hope of surviving, and we were right in the end. When I became self-employed, I just was able to take my interest in the internet further.
Have you seen any major differences then between the offline and online world?
Yeah, I think so. I think online really suffered from being, I suppose you could call it, the new kid on the block. Everyone wanted to be the internet's friend. No one really knew how to strike up a relationship with it. And the difference with offline and online is that offline, everybody knew how to deal with media. Everybody knew how to advertise, how to market, because it's been around for donkey's years. But the internet came along with a whole new set of dynamics, and nobody really knew quite how to get in touch with it. There was a great book that was written a few years ago by a chap called Michael Wolff called Burn Rate, which talks about his experiences of the heyday of trying to get investment into an internet company that he had, that was one of the few that was making money, but nobody would give any money. They were ploughing money into the ones that didn't have a business plan. I think really what we found is that online is just a terribly complex area. It's not an advertising medium as such. It's not like newspapers or television. It's completely different, and marketers have really had to come to grips with how to deal with something that is that different.
I think from my experience, the people who seem to have done the best are the ones who were involved in direct marketing in the offline world, because they seem to have adapted those principles, don't they, to online?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. You've only got to look at the one-man entrepreneurs who are making good money now online, and they're the same people that 10 years ago would have been running classified ads in BizOp magazines. You know, it's the mentality of the person that makes the money, not necessarily the medium. And the internet's just made it a bit easier to do. It doesn't cost anything particularly to advertise, or cost much less to advertise than it does offline. But it's interesting, really, and if you look at the slump that's going on in advertising and marketing at the moment, that all media are suffering a terrible recession. Television, posters, press, you name it, they're all losing money hand over fist at the moment. But the only areas that are still growing are direct marketing, i.e. postcard mailings and direct mail, and the internet. And I think that's because the internet's being used far more by people who understand direct marketing rather than trying to do branding with it, which has never really worked very successfully.
Thanks, Martin. That's Martin Avis of Biz eZine. And very soon, Martin will be starting a daily message to you full of motivation, tips, and help for your online business. Well, recently I spoke to Jason Potash. He's the creator of eZine Announcer, which you probably heard of. So now let's have a quick word about Jason, where he explains to us some of the things that eZine Announcer does.
There's really two main components. Is one, is you get that database that you mentioned. Now, I know that when I started in this business, I went through and searched through all kinds of articles and websites, and I found very quickly that most of the information online was outdated. I was reading articles from 1999 and 2000, and as you know, on internet time, that's like years ago, and half the information was old, it was outdated, you know, sites had died, come and gone, and I found just sorting through the trash and trying to find some quality sites was a huge waste of time. So I've taken that step out of the process, and I've given you a database of, as of today, over 1,600 resources that I've populated in the database, and I go through and clean these up and add to them on a quarterly basis, so it's a lot of work. And then the second step is that, okay, you have all this information, which is wonderful. Now, how do you automate that tedious process of submitting, you know, your articles to the top article directories, and even submitting your articles via email to announcement lists and eZine publishers? And I've done that in two ways. One is through automating the online form submissions. You have to really see it to sort of believe it. If you click on a site, it populates an online submission form by, you know, 80% to 100%.
So it kind of fills in the empty blanks for you.
Exactly. Yeah. As opposed to having you, you know, cut, paste, control C, control V, which again just becomes very tedious. So you can fly through uploading your articles to the article directories in minutes, as opposed to taking you hours.
Right.
And the second component, this is really critical, is your email submissions. I mean, I get article submissions sent to me daily, and you know what? The sad thing is, 95% of them are the exact same. It's dear friend, or dear eZine publisher, here's a great article on gardening, your subscribers will find great value in reading. And I read the first sentence, and I blow it into my trash. And studies have been shown that if you personalize that email as much as possible, you know, dear Peter, you know, understand that, you know, you published this e-zine, and the e-zine name is automatically put into the body of the email, you can increase your response rate by up to 4 times. Not something that I've made up. So what the product does, it actually then allows you to say, I'm going to send my article to 100 e-zine publishers, and what it does, it automatically mail merges your information into the body of the email, so it's personalized. Dear Peter, dear John, dear Mary, and you can put in, you know, 15 fields if you want to, which makes it look as if I'm hand-typing an email, which is what I did going back a year and a half ago.
And how much time would you say that would save you putting it through this process?
Again, depending on how fast you type and everything else, I would say if you're going through and submitting your articles to the article directories and to e-zine publishers on a monthly basis, I would say it's going to save you a minimum of 2 hours of your time. Give you one example. One fellow who's one of our users, he said that he submitted his article to 200 e-zine publishers in like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. That's really
good. Imagine handcrafting 200 emails. I mean, it would take you a long time.
Yeah. And one of the features I like is that it reminds you, I think, doesn't it? Every month or however you set, it reminds you to perhaps send another email.
Yeah, you can do that. It's actually a function where after you can set it to 20 days, 30 days, 60 days, it's going to pop up a bit of a reminder saying you should resubmit again. So it's just in the background, you know, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, Peter, time to submit some articles again, just to keep you on track.
Mm. Now, two things I like about this program are, firstly, that you can download a trial version, which is always, that's always good, isn't it, to have a play around with it first.
And, well, some people like to just to get their hands wet and dive into it, as opposed to seeing a an online video or something, so it does help.
Yeah, and the other thing I really liked, I think after people purchase the program, is you have these video tutorials, which are really good as well.
The video tutorials have been a phenomenal thing because of two reasons. And first of all, it really shortens the learning curve on using the product. It's helped me because my support emails have gone down literally by 90%. A lot of the questions are answered there. And also, there's another benefit where it really takes you step by step through a successful, you know, easing marketing, easing promotion campaign, right from A to Z.
And just to explain to people, because when you say video tutorial, my first image was you kind of sitting there, you know, talking to people saying, hi, I'm Jason. But in fact, it's not. You can see the screenshots. You're narrating. And you're actually making the moves as well, so you can watch your move.
Exactly. It's not me talking on the screen. It's as if I was beside you saying, Peter, watch the screen, and I'm obviously narrating and showing you exactly what you have to do and giving you some constructive, you know, dialogue.
Jason Pertash of e-zine Announcer. Let's just have another word with Joel Christopher now. Joel has written a book called The Master List Builder, and he's also got a workshop coming up in Texas. More details about that on the website. I particularly asked Joel to give us some tips, if he can, to help people with websites get visitors to opt in. So here he is with some tips.
Okay, great, Peter. What I'm going to do, for the sake of all of your listeners, is I'm going to talk about one or two for those who are basic people starting out, and those who are intermediate, and then those who are advanced.
That's great. Yeah, great.
Yeah, for the basic people just starting out, you know, this is so simple, but one person told me, why didn't I think about it?
Exactly, yeah.
It's as simple as putting a sign-up form on your page. In fact, Peter, you do this so brilliantly. Because when you approached me first and I went to your site just to check you out, there was no way in heck can I check you out unless I opt in.
Yeah, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Because the main purpose of your website is not really to sell. The main purpose is to collect your email address and name.
Yeah.
And then promote other products through the mailing list. Another basic one that they can do is as simple as having their webmaster, or if they have the skills to do it. Personally, I don't. I have to have because I'm a non-techie person.
Yeah.
I have a techie person do this for me, where you can just put a pop-up. It could be an entry pop-up where they see this script. It's called optinautomator.com.
Yeah.
And they can add to their website, and it pops up, and then all the subscriber will, or prospective subscriber will do, is just click OK twice, and they're opted into your list. Mm-hmm. Simple. Takes minutes to do that for the webmaster. Now, those are two of the basic stuff that they can do. Now, for the more intermediate ones, I would suggest once they have done their list, started their list, having their form, and having their follow system, they can actually use a software that your friend and my friend, Jason Potash, mm-hmm. has creatively produced. It's called Ezine Announcer, where it announces your list to free directories. Doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
You know, low price for the software, but doesn't cost you to submit to these directories. They will see that your Ezine, your list, your newsletter, if you can call it that, in these directories and announcement lists,
yeah.
and people can subscribe to you, to your list, for free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one way. Another way you can use the software is announcing articles that you can write for those who are, you know, who like to write articles in their niche. They can use that software, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can also have your subscribers, the list that you've formed thus far, become active referrers or marketers to others
yeah.
to subscribe to your list.
Mm.
There's a software right now that's web-based. It's free, doesn't cost you a thing. It's really nice. It's listpartners.com, where you can use that. And just reward your subscribers, whether you want to reward them, you know, money or products or even free ads in your newsletter
yeah.
for sending so many subscribers. So those are two tools that you can use if you are an immediate list owner. For the more advanced, I suggest that you use the model I call coopetition, COOPETITION,
right.
which is what I call cooperation with your competition. Because you see, Peter, the internet to me is not really a competitive field. It's more of a cooperative field. In fact, you won't be here, I won't be here online, if not for the thousands and millions of people who started the internet way back when.
That's right,
and
yeah.
log on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I figured competition is a really good model. Even the top experts, you know, Marlon Sanders, Jonathan Mysel, Cora Rudel, Declan Dunn, Yannick Silver, they're good friends. You know,
yeah,
they really
yeah.
cooperate together. So look at it from that vantage point. Well, how can you apply this principle to building your list? What you can do is find three or four people
mm-hmm.
who are experts in your field, or people that have lists in your field, and just form a contest or have what I call a co-registration page where one person, let's say you, Peter,
yeah.
will recommend the other three people, and the
yeah.
other three people recommend you too
yeah.
in their own thank you emails and their thank you pages.
Yes.
Now, that's one thing you can do. The other thing that you can do, which we are doing now, I'm doing this with Kurt Christensen, Jimmy Brown, Frank Guerin. So Kurt, Frank, Jimmy and myself, we're doing this contest that we're planning next week, where we're rewarding people
yeah.
from our list subscribe to other lists. Like, for example, I'm going to promote this contest where we're giving away the nice tapes that Frank has, that I do, that Jimmy has, and
mm-hmm.
and Kurt,
yeah.
and we'll have a winner like every week, that kind of
oh,
thing.
Oh, that's a really good idea, yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, and actually it's been done before. Ezine Hits by Chris Stringham
yeah.
Was done through rewarding with Ezine Ads.
Yeah.
Another
yeah.
person
yeah.
that you may have heard of,
mm-hmm.
Alex Sampson, built
oh, yeah.
the list massively
yeah.
in 6 weeks by doing a contest, giving away physical products and digital products as prizes.
People think, well, why should I put this this box on, which is sending people to subscribe to other newsletters or whatever? But first of all, it's a pop under, so people don't see it straight away. And secondly, that same box is appearing on all the other people's websites with your website on. I hope you can join me again next week when my nose will have hopefully cleared up. I'll be feeling a little bit better. So until next week, bye-bye.